You're listening to New England Public Radio. I'm Kari Njeri. 5 years ago, at 23, Andrew Forstoffel decided to walk 4,000 miles across America with a handmade sign that said, "Walking to Listen." Along the way, he recorded dozens of stories from the people he met.
You make a lot of good memories. Going out in the woods, just hunting old bottles.
I used to worry myself to death. And now I realize, you know, the things you worry about, how many of them come true?
When I see my Jesus face to face, and he said, "That's the rule. Love thy neighbor as thyself." And I got to do what he said.
Now settled in Western Massachusetts, Forstoffel has a new book about his journey. New England Public Radio's Karen Brown recently joined him for a much shorter stroll.
Andrew Forstoffel lives above a beer supply shop on a busy commercial strip in Northampton. So we walk to a bike path where we have a few quiet miles to chat.
We'll take a left here.
This way? Okay.
Yeah, we'll take a right up on.
This is familiar terrain for Forstoffel, walking and talking. It's how he spent 11 months wandering from Chatsford, Pennsylvania, where he waved goodbye to his worried mother and set off on the railroad tracks, all the way to Half Moon Bay, California.
Before I walked across the country, walking was something I had done in sort of like in fits and starts, you know, little hiking trips. And then when I committed to a long distance through hike, walking became both my lover and my enemy, you know. It became my teacher. It became a meditation. And it was miserable too. Like, I don't want to romanticize how miserable the experience was.
When he started, Forstoffel was a recent graduate of Middlebury College in Vermont, still grieving his parents' divorce and looking for wisdom to guide him into adulthood. He'd hoped to travel to a small village in Africa, but he lost a well-paying job and needed a cheaper adventure. That's when he decided to fill a backpack with outdoor gear, a flip phone, a mandolin, and 3 books of poetry. With $4,000 in savings, he planned to camp when necessary, accept a free couch when offered, and record people's stories.
What sort of began to happen, I think, was that the walking primed me for connection with people. All of the hours I spent alone walking put me in this state of, well, basically loneliness. I was just damn lonely out there, you know? And to meet someone at the end of the day was just a miraculous thing to experience, because there was no guarantee that I'd be with anyone that night. You know, maybe I was going to be under a bridge alone again.
He followed a few self-imposed rules. He wouldn't accept any ride that would shorten the trip. He would use only paper maps, no internet or GPS, and he wouldn't listen to recorded music or podcasts.
I wanted to be approachable. I wanted people to feel that they wouldn't be interrupting me if they stopped and said something. So I chose not to wear earbuds.
Which also helped him focus on self-reflection and random observations.
I'd be walking along and I'd see a little strand of spider silk floating by, you know, and just be mesmerized. I would hear sounds that I wouldn't have heard otherwise. I'd feel things in my body that I wouldn't have felt otherwise. And so it all became a pretty entertaining spectacle.
He kept mostly to a southern route, and halfway through the trip, he bought a used baby stroller to help haul his stuff, which must have been quite an image, he concedes, especially during the occasional bout of crying along the lonely highway. He ate deep-fried squirrel, got lost in the desert, and sang Amazing Grace with an old woman in Alabama. He met many people outside the bubble of his middle-class youth, a trucker, prison guard, astrologer, a Christian missionary, ceremonial dancer, retired bounty hunter. He says they were often colorful, generous, and contradictory.
There's one woman and her husband who took me in to their home, took me out to dinner at Applebee's or something. We had a great interview that night, cooked me breakfast in the morning, and just as I'm heading out, she said, you should think twice about walking through this town coming up ahead. All the whites left and the help stayed, and the southern black is a whole different animal than the northern black.
Forstoffel says that kind of bigotry tended to shock him into silence, and he regrets not engaging people more in a discussion of their beliefs and his. He says that's one reason he wrote the book, to link the different perspectives he came across.
I wished so many times that people who I'd been with just the day before who were warning me about the people in the next town over. I wish they could be with me that night when I went to that town and got to meet some of these people and actually listen to them.
He emphasizes that not only Southern conservatives could use a wider lens on the world, which is why he hopes his own example inspires future extreme walkers.
It would humble, the most bleeding heart liberal. It would have the potential to complicate things for them in a way that's very important, I think. You know, sort of erase the notion that anything is black and white, including, you know, a Trump supporter. A Trump supporter is more than a Trump supporter. What else are they?
Today, Forstoffel is a full-time writer and public speaker. After a spiritual awakening on his big hike, he studies Buddhism and meditates. If he were to take another cross-country listening walk, he says he'd do it with other people.
I once was low, but now I'm found. Was blind.
Andrew Forstoffel dedicated his book, Walking to Listen, to his mother.
You didn't join me.
I'll join you this time.
Twas great that
For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.
Our thanks to transom.org for interview clips from Forstoffel's walk.
Yes, Lord. Love that boy.
I love yours. That was beautiful.
Oh, God.